Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Naya Reyes. This is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Northwestern's History Department's Cakes and Classes, a new exhibit on campus, the Poppy TikTok drama, and how to create a perfect day. These stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6.
Dressed as a pirate, history professor Scott Sowerby raises his sword to slice the vanilla cake.
Here we go.
He's advertising his spring class, Pirates, Guns, and Empires. Spring course selection starts this week. Yesterday, students filed into Harris Hall to eat cake and browse classes. The history department hosts Cakes and Classes every fall and winter. It features themed cakes from Benison's Bakery to represent upcoming classes. Department Chair Kevin Boyle says the event allows students to meet faculty in a fun setting.
We want people to see the fabulous courses that we have to offer, and we hope people get a good sugar rush out of it too.
Students left the event with full bellies and new history classes on their spring roster. For WNUR News, I'm Emma Richman.
Have some free time between classes? Consider heading down to Norris to see Metamorphosis, the art of transformation. Ditmar Gallery's newest exhibition. Sophia Casa has the story.
Campus job boards are a treasure trove of opportunity. From ushering at Beenan to working in a lab, there's a full spectrum of experiences to be had. Weinberg sophomore Elise Malamud knows that better than anyone.
I really love museums and I love curatorial work. And I was looking for a job on campus before my freshman year started. And I saw the opening for a job at Ditmar. And I thought, what better opportunity is this?
Since September of 2023, Malamud has been working at Ditmar Memorial Gallery, Norris's student-run gallery space, currently as its supervisor and registrar. Operating now for over 50 years, Ditmar is a place of opportunity for new and emerging artists, both the ones on display and the ones doing the curation. Communications sophomore Gabby Gutierrez started at Ditmar in September of 2024 and now serves as the exhibitions and gallery tech assistant. For Gutierrez and the other five students on Ditmar's team, their job revolves around the myriad of tasks needed to bring the professional level exhibitions to life.
All of us kind of have our hands in multiple areas. So I often cover a lot of the marketing efforts. Something else that we do is community outreach. So when we're finding artists to participate in our exhibitions, like sometimes we will reach out to an artist in the Chicagoland area that we find inspiring, or we host like applications for a couple of months and then we review everyone's submissions as a team. But then sometimes it's like physical labor and I'm like drilling holes in the wall in the gallery and like repainting things. So it's very hands-on and you kind of do whatever needs to be done.
But one of the main and arguably most important jobs is selecting the theme for an exhibition. Gutierrez and Malamud curated Ditmar's current exhibit, Metamorphosis, the Art of Transformation.
We were the ones that chose the theme because we really wanted to see artworks that kind of transcend different mediums.
We had several shows that incorporated fabric works, quilting and things like that. And people really enjoyed having that visual diversity in the gallery. So I thought to myself, well, it would be pretty cool if we had an entire show about where every piece had some kind of a different medium.
As this exhibit is Ditmar's community show, all the work is submitted by artists in the area. One of the pieces featured is Rebirth, a digital art piece featuring traditional techniques and brushstrokes. It was designed by Weinberg senior Ellie Thieu.
As an artist, a lot of my artwork comes from introspection. So for me, I'm someone who will think really deeply about, I guess, my personal experiences, the world, and how everything shapes me as a person. This piece that's featured is called Rebirth, and then I think it really fits with the theme of metamorphosis because it is telling the story of growth and transformation.
However, the exhibition's reach stretches beyond the Northwestern community. Socorro Musino is an Evanston artist who creates photo etchings. By creating Photoshop composites, exposing transparency to ultraviolet light and aquatint film, and running it through an etching press to reveal a sort of collage with a maze of shadows. Her piece, The Lady of Assisi, is featured in Metamorphosis as well.
I go to Northwestern to look at the work in the gallery, so I'm familiar with the gallery. I love the gallery. I love that they have work from all different kinds of artists and all different kind of processes. Last year, I submitted a piece. I saw the call for art, and I thought, well, why don't I submit?
This is Musino's second year in the gallery. It's Dittmar's commitment to looking beyond Sheridan Road that not only keeps artists coming back, but also keeps the gallery fresh as well. Here's Gutierrez again.
I love it. I love talking to people, but it's really interesting that we broaden our scope beyond the Northwestern community, because we have the opportunity to work with professional artists and people who have been doing this and exhibiting their work for a very long time.
And the result of all this hard work? A dazzling display of 32 pieces with variety as far as the eye can see. From digital art to photo etching to fibers to sculpture, it's a testament to the community's creativity and the true diversity of art. Malamud sums it up best.
Someone at the reception had told me that they really liked it because every time they turned a corner, they didn't know what to expect because the pieces are just so varied, and I think that's exciting.
If you're interested in seeing the exhibit for yourself, Metamorphosis runs at the Dittmar Memorial Gallery until March 10th. For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Quesa.
New scandals happen every day on TikTok. The most recent one has to deal with the soda brand Poppy. I spoke with some Poppy drinkers to figure out why the company found itself in the middle of controversy.
It's a drive-thru, not a confession booth.
Show up a Poppy, please.
Stop spiraling. Get a Poppy.
Get a Poppy.
Get a Poppy.
Call it soda. Call it pop. Call it whatever you want to call it. Over the past couple years, it's gotten quite of a rebrand, largely driven by a brand called Poppy. Started by Allison Ellsworth in 2015, it's got less sugar than your average can of soda, less than 25 calories per can, and claims to be a prebiotic. But recently, Poppy has landed in some hot water on TikTok.
You know, it's so funny. I actually drink Poppy and I have it on subscribe and save for the raspberry rose flavor. I love it.
That's Sam Ogborn. She used to work for brands like Walgreens and Red Bull in their marketing department. Now, she helps female-founded companies with their marketing and is an adjunct professor at Miami University teaching social media and content marketing. The controversy started with vending machines and a Super Bowl ad.
Poppy wanted to clearly do something for the Super Bowl that packed a punch and reached a ton of people. And so they had a Super Bowl ad, which was $16 million because it was $8 million for a 30-second spot.
Her numbers are correct, according to CBS.
And then on top of that, they invested in sending out these custom vending machines to these high-profile influencers. Unfortunately, there was a lot of backlash online because people that drink the product every day, their normal consumers, are starting to feel left out by this. And so
many companies become major parts of our lives. We give them our money, our time, and attention. Look at people's attachment to brands like Glossier, a company that pioneered the no makeup makeup look, or Derf Avenue, founded by social media it girl Matilda Derf, the poster girl for the effortless clean girl aesthetic. Both have had their respective scandals and left people disappointed. Companies like Poppy become representative of different lifestyles. Poppy brands itself as a soda you don't have to feel guilty about. Poppy is the soda for the Pilates princess or the girl that's super into her gut health. But are people really emotionally attached to a soda brand? Ogborn argues that they are.
They kind of grew up with consumers, in the living room of consumers, and they bring this collective energy to them from a normal everyday consumer who wants to support a small brand.
To her, the backlash makes sense.
So this playbook that a lot of these brands follow of starting from scratch on social, building themselves up, then having a social media team run their social accounts, and then do these big influencer activations.
According to a competitor of the brand, Olipop, the vending machines cost $25,000. Poppy has disputed this.
It's tiring at this point. A lot of consumers are just over it because they're like, what about us?
But not everyone agrees. Aubrey Eisnick studied marketing at the University of Arkansas. She graduated in 2022, and now her job consists of building influencer campaigns.
One of my biggest clients is Fortune 500 companies.
I don't want to give too much away because I don't know what I signed with my NDA, but...
She posted a video on TikTok giving her take on the drama.
I'm really so sick of people using the term out of touch when talking about the Poppy vending machines. It's not out of touch, it's genius marketing, and they're getting extreme ROI. Out of touch is a billion...
While she stands by her video, despite the hate comments she received for it, she also empathizes with people's connection to the brand.
But I've been a fan of Poppy since they were on Shark Tank. Like, I immediately went and bought a case. I think I was like a junior in college.
Even if it didn't turn out the way Poppy wanted it to, Isnik says they still might be onto something.
Any publicity is good publicity. Them saying like, hey, even if we get like a bad rep for how much money we spent, or we get a bad rep for like this crazy campaign, like it will still be in the news for being like overly crazy.
And while Ogborn and Isnik might not totally see eye to eye, both agree that Poppy needs to take a step back. Isnik thinks that they need to get back to their roots.
Community-focused campaigns, like at least just to gain the public's trust back, would be like my best opinion or my best suggestion to them moving forward. Like, I took crisis communication.
For some consumers, switching behavior has already occurred, which is when a competitor can get a customer to choose their brand over the other, even if only once.
That's a win in my book.
Poppy isn't a publicly traded company, so we don't know how their daily sales have been affected by this drama, if at all. But one thing is for certain.
When the switching behavior happens, it's never a good sign, because now you have more consumers moving over to a competitor and you need to find a way to get them back, because you're missing out on sales little by little. It's chipping away.
In a moment of chaos, Coca-Cola announced their own version of a prebiotic soda earlier this week, Simply Pop. As the industry becomes more and more saturated, who knows how the Poppy drama will end.
I would really reassess what my influencer planning and social media planning looks like for the remainder of the year. And if I were her as a founder, I personally would also ask myself, is my social team being compensated enough? And these roles are notoriously underpaid. And this whole fiasco just cost them a ton of money.
After the owner posted a video acknowledging the issue, Poppy has begun posting their regular content again. It's safe to say that they want this behind them, and Isnik thinks that that is possible.
Like, I don't think it was a bad campaign. I think it was just a mess.
For WNUR News, I'm Naya Reyes.
As the freezing cold continues to make us long for warmer weather, four Northwestern students walk us through their perfect day to motivate us to push through winter quarter. Basil Free has the story.
It's winter at Northwestern, meaning students are spending much of their time bundled up in fuzzy winter jackets to escape the cold. Stuck yearning for sunny days lounging on the lakeville, the season is a time where many long for warmth in the midst of gray, dreary days. It's hard not to daydream, thinking about what an ideal day would look like if the weather was warmer and the sun was shining. But what's in a perfect day? I asked four Northwestern students to describe theirs from morning to midnight. For Medill sophomore Kate Bicalis, hers would involve nature, close friends and family, and her dogs.
I would wake up around 10 a.m. in a small cottage house on the coast of Oregon, which is where I'm from. And being on the coast has always been my favorite thing. It just makes me so happy.
Bicalis is vegan, meaning her ideal breakfast will consist of some of her favorite homemade dishes.
Me and my family would cook some breakfast, maybe some vegan tofu scramble, some vegan pancakes, which don't sound very good, but to me, they're delicious.
After her meal, Bicalis' morning plans would continue with some time spent outdoors.
And then we would go outside and go on a hike, a little like 11 a.m. hike. The weather would be around 70 degrees, So not too hot, not too cold, and it would be like a summer day on the coast. So some cool breeze, but also the sun is out.
Moving into the afternoon, Medill's sophomore Kunjal Bastola's ideal midday activity will consist of an outing with her sister.
I'd probably go to a bookstore. Go to a bookstore, browse the books. My perfect day would include me having the perfect amount of money, and so I'd be able to buy whatever I wanted.
Despite eating brunch earlier in the day, Bastola would still have room for a nice lunch.
But you know what? I would go eat some pasta. You know? Perfect day. And then if it's like warm enough, I'd probably go to like swim or something at the beach.
As the sun begins to set, Medill sophomore Raghav Khosla would head to Welsh Ryan Arena to catch the Cats take on the Purdue Boilermakers.
I'm going to get there an hour and a half early, making sure I get seats by the Northwestern bench, three or four rows up from the court, and then listen to that wonderful Welsh Ryan pregame mix, watching the guys warm up, booing Purdue and Zach Edey and Fletcher Lawyer and all the guys on Purdue that I'm not the biggest fan of.
At 8 o'clock, the game begins.
It's game time. It's a back and forth game. And just like it happened this year, it's going to go to overtime and Northwestern's going to win. We're going to storm the court, just have a phenomenal time beating number one Purdue.
Under the moonlight, CESPE senior Jude Abija would head into the city for a night of music and fun.
In the evening, I probably would want to get a light meal and go to a concert. It doesn't have to be like a huge concert. It can be, but it could also be like a small, like indie local band maybe. And just like feel some music with some people. And I feel like that'll be really fun.
After a long night out, Abija would appease his appetite with a delicious late night dinner.
After that, I would like to get a huge meal. I remember one time after a concert, I went to get tacos and Pilsen, and that was literally the best experience of my life. So if I could replicate that feeling, that would be great.
For Bicalis, the end of her day would be picturesque.
I always find that stargazing on the beach is the best because it's the most clear, as long as it's a clear night out. And in my ideal world, I mean, ideal day, it would be very clear so that you can see everything. And then we'd come back, get ready for bed, and then, yeah, go to bed around midnight and get a good night rest. And, yeah, that would be my perfect day.
For WNUR News, I'm Basil Free.
Crossover season is here. We've got spring sports, we've got winter sports, and frankly, that might be a few too many sports. Gabe Shumway is here to tell you about most of them.
Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. Lacrosse had perhaps the biggest home game of the year across any sport Saturday as Boston College came to town. This was a rematch of the past two national championship matchups, with Northwestern beating BC in 2023, but losing in a heartbreaker last year. BC came into Saturday as the number one team in the country, with the Cats sitting at number two. The Eagles stormed out to a 6-0 lead, and despite a late-game push from Northwestern, Boston College ultimately held on, closing out a 13-9 win. Emerson Bolig managed a hat trick in the loss and will look to take that breakout performance into Friday's matchup with Colorado. It's officially diamond season, and with that comes Northwestern softball. The team competed in 5 games from Friday to Sunday as part of the Purple and Gold Challenge in Baton Rouge. The tournament got off to a rough start for the team, being no-hit by number 17 Virginia Tech and losing in a 7-1 blowout to LSU. Despite 2 victories against UT Arlington, the team once again lost to LSU on Saturday by the run rule, falling 8-0 in 5 innings. Baseball had their opening series over the weekend too, a 3-gamer at Long Beach State. After a horrific 19-6 loss in Game 1, the team was able to turn it around for Games 2 and 3. Garrett Shearer and Sam Hlebocki's pitching led Northwestern to a 6-2 victory in Game 2. In the series-deciding third game first year, Matthew Kauser made an absolute statement, pitching 6 innings of 1-run ball.
He secured Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors for this performance. Women's basketball split a pair of road matchups over the past week with a loss to Purdue Wednesday and a win over Rutgers Monday. The team is currently pushing for a spot in the Big Ten tournament, where the three lowest teams will be on the outside looking in. The win in Piscataway puts them in the coveted 15 spot if the season were to end Monday night. The win was largely a team effort throughout the night, with five different players scoring double-digit points. Chris Collins and company have had a rough stretch recently. After losing senior Brooks Barnheiser and grad student Jalen Leach to injury, they have had to switch up the structure of their team. Jordan Clayton burned his redshirt and is now starting down the stretch, including Sunday's home matchup with Nebraska. The Cats took a double-digit lead early, but could not close the game out when it mattered most, falling 68-64. Junior Nick Martinelli and grad student Ty Berry combined for 46 of the team's 64 points. Fencing's Junior Olympics took place in Charlotte from Friday to Sunday, with a plethora of Cats competing. There were two podium finishes, both in 8th place respectively, for grad student Amanda Pierkowski in Division I Women's APAE, and first-year Natalie Shearer in Junior Women's Sabre. First-year Nisha Heald also fell just short of a podium finish in both Division I and Junior Women's Sabre, finishing 12th and 13th respectively. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. No doubt it's been pretty cold here in Evanston, but we're in for some luck. Not too much, though. We're just getting out of the negatives here. Tomorrow, the high is 21 with a low of 6, but at least it'll be sunny. Friday is going to look pretty much the same with a high of 25 and a low of 9. But again, the sun will be out. And Saturday, we'll almost reach the 30s with a high of 28 and a low of 13. It'll be another day of sun, maybe some buns out too. Let's take a look at the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, across the nation, and the globe. In Evanston, Dr. Bessie Rhodes School of Global Studies reopened today after dealing with flooding throughout the building following Friday's water main break in Skokie. During the long weekend, cleaning crews were able to drain the water and remove any materials that were damaged and could be saved. The air in the building was tested, and only one classroom came back positive for elevated levels of dust. That classroom will remain closed until further notice. Students and staff will not have to make up the missed day at the end of the year. Earlier this evening, a proposal to decrease Chicago's default speed limit from 30 to 25 miles per hour was rejected by the City Council. First Ward Alderman Daniel Espada sponsored the measure in hopes that it would reduce traffic deaths across the city. The vote failed 28-21. Throughout the country, there has been much talk of New York Mayor Eric Adams and the corruption charges facing him. Today, in a 90-minute hearing, the Justice Department urged a judge to dismiss the charges. Adams' team remains firm in their stance that there was no quid pro quo between the DOJ and Adams. So far, 8 prosecutors from the department have resigned because of the matter. Today, as the war between Ukraine and Russia continues, Ukraine President Zelensky said that Trump is living in a disinformation space. These comments came after Tuesday's meeting of senior U.S. and Russian officials to discuss ending the war, and Trump's comments saying that Ukraine has had 3 years to do so. That's all for WNUR News at 6. For more news and updates, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producers today is Sophia Quesa, and our reporters are Emma Richmond, Sophia Quesa, myself, Naya Reyes, and Basil Free. I'm Naya Reyes. Catch our next newscast Friday, February 21st. Now, back to scheduled programming.